The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Forrest Jordan and Associates, the Generator Guys.
Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jess. This is News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable. 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. You can find us on the app. You want to be part of the conversation today? We would love to have you join us. 850-437-1620. That's 437-1620. Good morning. Tim Ireland is with us today from the Generator Guys, Forrest Jordan and Associates. It is a beautiful morning.
It is. Hey, Jess, thanks for having me back. It's great to be here again. I'm loving the weather today.
Me too. I had to check the temperature because I was like, what? This feels good.
I know. I hope it stays like this for a while. It's been so hit or miss lately.
Yes. Do you think it's going to get, does it rain every day here in Pensacola?
Sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it?
It does. I'm like, yesterday the clouds were, you know, coming in. And I was like, oh, goodness, I guess I got to wait a few minutes before I hit the road. I'm still not sure about driving here.
Yeah, well, we had great weather yesterday, and then I had a team come back from up in Jay, and they said they were socked in with thunderstorms really bad all day. So it's patchy, right? Like, it could be clear in one place and, you know, sunny in the next town over, and then 30 minutes later it swaps. It's crazy.
I always do the call ahead. Hey, what's happening in your area?
That's right, yeah.
That's great. So we had a great conversation last time. I think one of the things we might want to talk a little bit more about, if you want to kind of introduce your company and give a quick overview, I think that would be excellent as always. But maybe we talk about size of generators.
Yeah, you know, I was talking a little bit off air. You know, I had a conversation last night with a gentleman in one of the Lowe's stores where we also install, you know, generators. And it's a conversation we have constantly with people, and it always revolves around, like, well, how big of a generator do I need? So I thought maybe, you know, we dive a little bit deeper today. We've been talking the last, you know, couple times I'm in, just more broadly about the company and what we do, which, again, it's we install, service, maintain home standby generators from leading brands like Generac, Kohler, Briggs & Stratton. We have a full service team in our two locations in Gulf Breeze, Florida, and in Mobile, Alabama. Veteran-owned, operated. I love employing veterans. We've got great teams, and we offer a free, no obligation in-home consultation for new generator customers. So, again, that's kind of the quick synopsis there. But yeah, I think it'd be great to spend a few minutes just talking about generator sizing because it's such a black box for folks.
Great.
Yeah. So I guess I would just start by saying that homes have energy requirements, right? And so if you think about what powers your home, the thing we think about most often, including when we think about generators, is electricity. But there's also other types of fuel that provide energy to the home. And so specifically, we're talking typically about natural gas and liquid propane. And so the total energy demand of the house, that ratio is going to have a great impact on, you know, how big of a generator you need to back your home up. And of course, the generators run on these, you know, fuel sources, on either natural gas or propane. You can get diesel too. We typically don't do diesel. I don't think it's a great choice for a residential application. And we primarily work in the residential and light commercial space. And certainly the natural gas infrastructure here has grown very dramatically in the last few years, and they continue to invest a lot in growing and reaching different neighborhoods and developments that either are older or newer. A lot of natural gas lines being run. I always say that is the preferred way to do it if you can. But certainly if you don't have natural gas, there are alternatives, and the one we offer is a liquid propane system. But generator sizing, there's a calculation we use, and so I'll get a little bit into it. But it can also get quite
technical.
Do you
see my eyes going in circles?
Yeah, rolling back in your head. Yeah. So I'll try to be too boring about it. I would just say, you know, as a broad brush, you know, your generator is going to have a nominal output rating, and you want to match that to it be at least to match or exceed the primary loads of your house. Everything that would come on in your house in the event of an outage or on the utility power, you want your generator to at least be able to power that. That is a requirement. beyond that, you have to have the ability to manage those loads so that they can be shed in the event of an outage. So, with that, I would just say, I always like to come back to cars because I think it's something people typically just understand, at least to some degree. You know, and if you have a car that's, say, it's a 300 horsepower car, but you're getting that at redline, just understand, if you're running your car at redline, you're not going to get 100,000 miles out of it, right? I mean,
right.
You're using it, to different degrees. And I think the generator can be the same thing. So I always say, if you're thinking about a generator, you can definitely size it to the absolute minimum. And there is a bit of a cushion, in my opinion, built into some of these calculations. But if you're talking about running it down here on the coast, in a hurricane type environment for weeks on end, if your generator is just barely, squeaking by,
right,
that will affect the long-term health of the unit. So obviously that gets into budget considerations. So you have to kind of draw that balance. At least most folks will have to draw that balance of how much risk they want to take with that. But I would always say if you're on the fence or you're just crossover point, I'd always go to a bigger generator. And just a moment to talk about generators. Generally, we're going to talk about two types. We're going to talk about air-cooled generators and liquid-cooled generators. And again, the analogy I like to use is an air-cooled is kind of like having a motorcycle, like a Harley engine, in your in your generator. And that's going to be for light duty, for residential. So a mainline residential unit from, just say Generac, which is the most popular here, 18 to 26 kilowatt, so thousands of watts. That's going to be that type of engine. And then from there, you go up to what I call just simply a light commercial type generator or a liquid cool generator. And that's going to be your car engine.
Gotcha.
So just like you think about your car, it's going to have all the same components, less the wheels, right? But it's going to have that engine. It's going to have that fuel source.
No music playing.
Well, yeah, we might be able to work out some creative solutions there. But yeah, out of the box, no music, right? But it's also going to have a radiator and a liquid cooling system. That's going to help it better manage the heat, and it's going to help it to produce that bigger engine, more heat being thrown out. You need to manage it, and it's also going to help you get that higher power output. So those are kind of the two classes of generators that we typically deal with. There is a pretty big price departure once you cross into that, and there's also some installation complications that come to that in terms of additional work that needs to be done. But certainly if you have a larger home or if you have more power, you need more power in your house, those are the types of solutions we start to get into. If you have a large power requirement, but the budget doesn't quite justify, or maybe the space available doesn't quite justify or allow for, a larger generator like that, we can do a smaller generator. But that kind of comes back to what we talked about with power management. We need to be able to account for the fact that if your home starts pulling more power than the generator can handle, there needs to be an offload ramp. And we do that with smart management.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great. And one of the great things, one of the great things that I'm hearing in my head is you take all the worry out of the sizing part. I'm not going to have to worry about what size I need because you're a professional. You got this.
Yeah, I mean, we have the experience and the tools to be able to do this for you. I just know from experience that a lot of people kind of like to have that in their mind up front because they want to make sure so is that guy try to upsell them unnecessarily, and I totally get that. But that is part of our free, obligation process in the home to look at your home specifically to see what you actually need to do the calculations to make sure it's going to pass code, it's going to be something that's going to be durable for you, and it's going to work in the long term. So, we need to stand by that work also. So we're vested also to make sure you have the right equipment for the job.
Awesome. That's great.
And I know I promised you kind of the pedantic, overly, academic part. So let me just say that commercial industrial applications are different. But again, we primarily work in the residential space. And so kind of the typical calculation we'd follow is there's about 4.5 kilowatts that are pretty much reserved for things like kitchen and laundry circuits. That's kind of a standard code consideration. After that, we basically size it, one, by the square footage of the home. And so there's a calculation there, 3 volt amps per square foot for residential. And then we look at specific high voltage, high draw, appliances and equipment like air conditioners, like hot water heaters, like stoves, things like that.
Right.
And then we take essentially the nominal, the value of those equipment. We use kind of standard factors for those typically. And then we add that all up without the heating and cooling aspect that comes later. We add all those up and we call those general loads. And for the residences, we would apply 100% of the first 10 kilowatts. And then we'd apply 40% of the remaining kilowatts, add those two together to get your general loads factor. And the idea of the 40%, which is only for residential, is the idea that, you know, you're not running everything at the house at the same time. You know, if you're in the kitchen, you're not also, you know, doing laundry maybe, or maybe you are, or, you know, you're not.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, the stove's burning, but the laundry is great, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So the idea that you're not in every room, every light switch isn't on, et cetera. So there's some, you know, kind of already accounting baked into that for how we actually live and how we use our power. Because, again, we're paying, you know, most of us are paying for that power, right? So we're pretty smart about it.
Right.
So we kind of factor that in. And then we have to add the heating and cooling at the end. And so there's factors based on the size of the equipment. So, for example, you have to look at the starting power requirements. You have to look at the running power requirements. But also there's some shortcuts around, like, you know, the nominal tonnage rating of equipment for, like, an AC system, for example, that we'll use. And then we'll add the greater of the heating and the cooling, because if you're doing it right, you're not using both at the same time.
Right.
And so we'll take the greater of those two, and that gets added in as well. So that kind of boils out. And, you know, typically down here, you know, an average home is maybe, you know, a newer home, let's say maybe is 2,500 square feet, you know, maybe has a, you know, 3 or 4 ton AC. It's all electric. You know, you're typically going to be looking at maybe a 30 to 35 kilowatt, power load.
Okay.
And that's where we start having conversations like, look, we know you're not really pulling that much power, right? So let's think about what we maybe can use power management for, where the system can offload that if it were for some reason to exceed the nominal rating or output of the generator. But the reality is, you know, experience says you're actually going to be using, you know, maybe 20 to 24 kilowatts. So here's some units that might make more sense from a budget perspective and given how you're actually going to use the power.
So. Gotcha.
So those are the conversations we're having at the kitchen table.
Yeah. At dinner.
Yeah.
Small glass of wine, maybe.
Yeah, you can invite us over for dinner. That's fine. Yeah.
That'll be awesome. You are listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio. Tim Ireland is here with me in the studio from the Generator Guys, Forrest Jordan and Associates. You want to be part of the conversation? Text in or give us a call at 850-437-1620. We have an expert right here at our hands, but you can also visit his website. You want to give a website and phone number?
Yeah, it's www.thegeneratorguys, with an S, of course, because this is real English, .co. We couldn't afford the M, so generatorguys.co. You call us at 844-GEN-GUYS, so 844-436-4897.
I like that. We couldn't afford the M.
We tried. It was too much.
Putting the savings back into the company to help the customer, right?
That's right. We had to pay rent this month. We couldn't afford the M.
That's great. I have a silly question. When the event that I need my generator to kick on and I lose power, how does that all work?
Well, the great answer is automatically. So
that's awesome.
We typically are installing our automatic home transfer system. So the system is always on. It's always looking at the utility power coming into your house. When it sees that is no longer available, it's going to start that generator. It's going to do a warm-up, you know, the function check cycle, and it's going to automatically transfer power through a transfer switch from the utility side to the generator side, returning power to your house, usually, and we say, you know, 10 to 20 seconds the whole process to kind of play out. So initially when power goes out, you'll be out of power for, let's just say, 10 to 20 seconds.
Okay.
Then power will be back. Everything will be powered. You don't have to do anything. And then when the power comes back from the utility, from the street, it's going to see that. Once it sees stable power coming back in, it's going to tell the system to switch back. Now, that switching happens very, very quickly, small fractions of a second.
Wow.
So most people don't even notice the power going back to utility. Even like a clock on a stove or microwave is typically not going to reset when power does come back. And then the generator will go into a cool down cycle. So depending how long it's running, you know, maybe 3 to 5 minutes, sometimes less, it'll run and then shut itself off, and then it'll be ready for the next outage.
So you could be going about your business and all of a sudden, hey, honey, did the power come back on?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can imagine going to work and the power goes out for a few hours and maybe you don't work close to home. You don't even know that power's on where you are. And you come back and, you know, you may see a flashing light, you know, the clock, maybe on the stove. But other than that, you don't even notice. You know, the fridge is still cold. The house is still cool. Yep.
You still have all that food in your fridge.
Absolutely.
That is excellent. That is great.
Yeah, I mean, that's big money savings, right? And that's, you know, I try to boil it down to that. For me, this is an insurance policy. So this is a long-term investment, you know, to protect your biggest investments, you know, your home, your family, et cetera.
That's so important. And I think that sometimes people think about it when it's too late. So we don't want them to think about it when it's too late. We want them to contact you now.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think there's a car insurance company that's going to write you a policy after the crash. I wish
Darn
there
it.
Was, right? We'd all have that one.
That's great. And if anyone's worrying about cost of getting this system for their house, they don't need to worry about that either, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's very affordable. I mean, the price of a generator has stayed relatively stable for the last few years. There have been some, you know, COVID era supply chain, you know, issues that, you know, have not fully regressed. Obviously, the cost of everything is higher these days, but home prices have greatly outpaced the price of a generator. So as a percentage, you know, cost, right. It's actually come down quite a bit. And we also have, you know, great partners like Synchrony Bank who can get folks financed for, you know, low monthly payments. There's also some promotions for, you know, low interest options. So, you know, if you have a good credit score or maybe a so-so credit score, let's at least have a conversation. Let's see what we can do. We find we have pretty great success, you know, getting people
That's
approved.
Great.
So, yeah.
It does not hurt to go through the process. And, I mean, you don't get the no unless you ask. That's the worst thing you can get was no, right? No harm done. And you're prepared moving forward. You can figure it out.
The answer is no for 100% of the questions you don't ask.
That is a cheat code for life. I needed you yesterday. We do have a question in our text line. What is the cost for a typical 1,800 square foot home?
Yeah, so, you know, it comes down to a few things. So I talked about generator sizing. I think folks, when they're typically starting to do the buying process, that's where they kind of get fixated. It's actually probably not one of the bigger drivers of cost. So let's just pretend that 1,800 square feet, let's say it's going to be like a 22 kilowatt, you know, generator from Generac.
Yep.
And let's just pretend that, you know, electric and gas are present on site and they're on the same side of the house and that, you know, there is, you know, a relatively short connection to the generator, et cetera, et cetera. I'll just use a range. Let's just say you might be looking at, say, $10,000 to $12,000 all in, and that would be turnkey, you know, the generator, the equipment, the transfer switch, you know, all the labor, installation costs, permits, et cetera. And that's a, you know, big point. You know, you will find people out here who are doing the work, you know, presenting themselves in a, you know, a less than honorable, you know, fashion, let's just say, unlicensed, uninsured. You got to watch out for that.
Yeah.
You know, this is a big thing. They're going to be working on your house. It's a big investment. You want a company that's going to be reputable, that is insured, that is licensed, that is, you know, experienced. And, you know, that's how we make our business, you know. So.
And do you take care of, you know, helping to facilitate the permitting process, or is that something the homeowner has to initiate?
Yeah. No, so we do the permitting. In some cases, there are forms the customer must fill out, and so we'll send the customer those forms either digitally or you know, be paper. In some cases, those forms need to be notarized. We can do the notary work on site, or any notary can do it. And typical notary prices these days are about $10. So.
Okay.
In those cases, there is some work for the customer, but we will kind of walk them through that process. We'll do all the filings. We'll pull the permit. Yeah, you know, we'll close it out, et cetera. So, yeah,
gotcha.
We try to offer a turnkey solution for most cases.
That is great. We want you to get in those last-minute conversations before the conversation ends. 850-437-1620. You are listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. We have Tim Ireland here in the studio from the Generator Guys, Forrest Jordan and Associates. For more information, you can go to their website at thegeneratorguys.co. Can't afford the M, don't forget the S.
That's right. No Z, nothing crazy. We're old school. We speak and write, you know, the English we learned as kids. So
English is difficult for me sometimes, as you just saw a moment ago.
We're either not that cool or we're not that fancy. I don't know, but just basic stuff. Generator Guys, thegeneratorguys.co.
And what's the phone number and an email address that we could reach you at?
Yeah, 844-GEN-GUYS, 844-436-4897. You can reach out to us, general inquiries at forest@thegeneratorguys.co. for us with two R's. We also have a great, on our website is a great web form. That's a great way to get a hold of us.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I don't want to make excuses, but we're very busy right now. And so, you know, we're on the phone constantly trying to serve our customers. Web forms and emails are a great way to go hold of us because it's right there. My email is my to-do list. So every day at the end of the day, beginning of the day, I'm checking that. And if I haven't finished that task, I leave it unread. I leave it flagged, whatever. So like I love when people can reach out by email. But some folks, you know, they're not comfortable with that, and that's fine.
Right.
So they can reach us by phone. Yeah.
Being busy is a sign of a great business. And the fact that you want, you know, encourage people to go online, fill out the form shows that how important their message is, and you don't want to miss one.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's excellent.
And they can request a quote right online through that form.
Awesome. That's great. I have a quick question. You watching the Olympics coming up?
You know, I know about the Olympics. Unfortunately, the only thing I really know about is the Seine River and all the controversy around it. So I probably won't watch the Olympics. The timing isn't great for us. We're pretty much working all the time.
But you won't miss the Olympics if you call the generator guys, because you'll have a generator to power your Olympic feed.
Your TV, your internet will be working, so you'll be all set. So I'll definitely be rooting for the home team with the Olympics, but I probably won't get to catch most of it.
Well, I heard Snoop was going to be carrying a torch, and I just hopefully what he's torching is legal.
That'll be a sight to see. He's pretty tall too, I think, so it's going to be way up there.
Yeah, he is really tall. My goodness.
Maybe he'll do the last leg to, like, lift it into the cauldron.
That would be awesome. Two questions. How long does it take to install, and how long does a generator normally last?
Yeah, so let me just stick with Generac. What Generac will say is their units are designed to have a life of 20 to 25 years. So, you know, a long time, and, you know, basically almost the length of a mortgage of a new home, so quite a while. Yeah, I think there's an expression like your miles may vary, right? And
right.
I do think the conditions matter here, like the usage matters, the environment matters. I do think here on the coast it's tough on generators, especially for folks down on the water. You know, that salt air is not great for, you know, mechanical components and metal. I think, you know, what we do a lot of our business right now is replacing units that were bought right after Ivan, so 2004, 5, 6. So you think about that, you know, 18 to 20 years, you know, that seems to be about right for folks who, you know, those units are kind of end of life. Now, the difference in those units, many of those are a full steel construction, and the modern units have an aluminum enclosure, and there's a lot more aluminum on it. And aluminum, you know, doesn't corrode like steel does. So I think that's heartening for folks who are buying now and thinking about the long-term health of their unit in terms of how it's going to be better able to handle that weather. You think about the design too, some of the way they designed the louvers and the lips to wick away, you know, wind and moisture. I think that's going to really help as well.
Gotcha. We have a quick question. Good morning. Is this Susan?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Susan. We have about a minute left in today's show. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay. I have a Generac, and I got it shortly after Ivan. And my husband's not mechanically inclined. I'm more than he is, which isn't saying a whole lot. But I tell you, the reason why I like mine so well is the fact I was told if I had to run it 24 hours, all I had to do was add oil to it. And it's so easy. It's just like adding oil to your car. You just pour it in and you have a dipstick to check it. The other thing, it's right by my bedroom, and I think I've only heard it twice in all the years I've had it. So the fact that you need electricity, if your electric goes out during any kind of storm or anything, you don't have to worry about going out to get gas for a portable generator. And it's worthwhile. And the person that put it in for me, they also set it up where I decide to go through with gas on mine. And so, you know, the fact, I think I spend maybe $20 a month for gas. And the fact that, you know, I don't have to run anywhere. It starts right off the bat. It runs like 15 minutes every week just to circulate the oil in the engine. They put in what they call the standby to a standby, which means that if it doesn't start off with the first system, it'll go to the second system and start for you. And all these years I've had my Generac, I just
thank
put
you
in
so
a new
much
battery
for calling
like
in, Susan. We're running out of time. We hate to cut you off.
Susan, there's a future for you as a Generac spokesperson. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Susan.